Friday. From the Bob and Sherry studios on this fabulous Friday, it's Bob and Sherry.
Woo! Friday, we are psyched for the People's Movie Critic because he told us day before yesterday that we would not regret watching The Program on Netflix.
No.
That's what he's reviewing today. And I think you said it's four episodes, Lamar? Just
three.
Three. Who can't spare three episodes?
And once you start it, You're not going to get up and go to bed. You're not going to get up and leave unless the house is on fire. And if it is, maybe you can get an extinguisher. But I'm just saying, this is awesome.
Watch it on your phone out in the yard as the fireman.
Yes.
Out the fire.
Yeah.
So Netflix.
This is a binger.
That's right. That's right. It is.
Yeah. So in 1 hour, pretty much exactly, the People's Movie Critic is going to review The Program on Netflix. Kicking off a new era in my family today. Let me announce that my youngest has taken up kickboxing. And before you laugh, that girl's very competitive. And if that child decides that she's a kickboxer, I guess we have us a kickboxer in the family.
So, well, she was a dancer, so she probably is pretty light on her feet.
Well, that's what, when she's been really, she works so hard. I mean, she has a couple of jobs. She is a really good student. She's just a diligent little human being and mm-hmm. has been stressed, and you know, as she gets closer to graduating, she's a junior this year, stressed about, like, what about adulthood? And I said, trust me, it's terrible, but it'll wait for you. Hang on another year. Like, it's all coming.
Exactly.
Put it off.
But she's starting to get, she's at that place where things are flying at you now, and you're starting to get a taste of what adult reality is like. Been really, really stressed, does not dance anymore, doesn't have time for it. So she called me up last week and said, Mom, I'm going to say a word and you tell me what you think. I was like, okay. She goes, kickboxing. I said, I love it. I can't remember what movie it was that John Cusack was a kickboxer. Was that Say Anything, Max, where he wanted to be a professional kickboxer?
That is correct.
Yeah. So I associate kickboxing with John Cusack. I said, tell me about it. She said, well, there's this place right near campus and they do kickboxing lessons, and the first one is free, and then, you know, it's pretty affordable, blah, blah, blah. So I said, well, honestly, you were a dancer, and kickboxing requires a lot of grace and coordination along with all that athleticism and stamina. So I like that. And I think it would be good for you. So she went to her first kickboxing class and texted me afterward and said, I have signed up. So I now look forward to
it's self-defense. It's self-defense also, you know, which is always good for a woman to know.
Well, she's 3.5 feet tall. So it's, you know, that kick coming up, she'll get you right in the chin because that's about where the angle is. But it was, she needed something. She needed like a workout, physical activity, you know, mind, body, brain kind of thing. Kickboxing is one of those things that when I watch it, like if I'm flipping channels and it comes on, it's one of those things I look at and I think, I wonder if I'd be good at that. But I'm going to go ahead and add that to the long list of sporty activities that I thought I would be good at. And it turned out I was not good at all. I took tap dance lessons for 4 years. I can't tap dance. Now that is, can I do some steps? Yes. Can I do those steps while chanting the words inside my head and counting? Yes. It ain't dancing. I ain't dancing to the music. I'm just doing the steps.
Can I tell you how I feel about it?
I was disappointed that I was terrible. Yeah. Tell me how you feel about kickboxing.
Yeah. I have only been in one fight my whole life, and that was in high school. And it was a draw. We were both brought down to the vice principal's office because it's always the vice principal that brings the heavy hand. And we were both kicked out of school for a day. But, you know, as a guy, you never know. You know, what could happen? Suppose somebody says something lousy to my wife, right? Got to stand up for your wife, or, you know, you're there with your friends, or for whatever reason, somebody's drunk and they don't like the radio show, and here we go. So I thought to myself, you know, you're not a real big guy. You should, and you could break your hand, you know, hit, you can, if you hit somebody, you can break your hand. They say use the underside of your hand. come up right at the nose that way. But I don't know how good I'd be at that. And I thought maybe, you know, kickboxing, you know, because I am, you know, pretty agile, you know, maybe that would work. And I said to myself, yes, do it. You know how I would use it? If I was challenged in a bar to a fight, I would use those skills to kick open that bar door and get the hell out of there.
Amen,
that would
brother.
Be, that's,
and you can run pretty fast. Maybe
I'm
not,
fast.
You know, maybe not yes. for a long time, but you can sprint a
right.
short distance long
yeah,
enough to
yeah.
get to that Toyota Avalon. Oh, no, right. wait, you dropped your key fob. No, no, Bob, they're coming. Get it, get it. We got morons in the news coming up, and the People's Movie Critic. It's Bob and Jerry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Jerry app.
This summer, we're sending teachers to enjoy an amazing vacation from Visit Florida. Stay at the Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. Nominate a teacher you know to win the trip at bobandjerry.com. These days, I say to myself, I'm so glad I was not born into the royal family or was not one of their friends, people who are just below royal, but they're aristocrats. Because take a look at what's going on with Harry and Meghan, and the king is not doing well. And then you've got all this stuff with Kate, and it seems, and then, you know, Fergie's problems and her husband Andrew's problems. And now, this week, Charles Spencer, who, of course, was the brother of Princess Diana, is out with a brand new book, and the book is called A Very Private School. Let me just read right out of the pages of People magazine. Charles Spencer was a round-cheeked, red-headed, curious child brimming with so much energy that his mother gave him a distinctive nickname, Buzz. He said, I was such a happy little effervescent guy. My mother would call me Buzz like a little bee buzzing. His mother's name was Frances Kidd, by the way. But everything would change for young Buzz at the age of 8 when he was sent to live at an elite English boarding school, Maidwell Hall. The young heir to the aristocratic Spencer family estate, his father was John, the 8th Earl Spencer, enjoyed a privileged childhood along with his older sisters, which includes Sarah, Jane, and of course Diana, who married Prince Charles in 1981. But a decade before that historic day, Spencer's world was turned upside down with his entry into the cold, cruel halls of Maidwell. In a candid new memoir, A Very Private School, he confronts the childhood drama of 5 years at an institution that left its young students vulnerable to predatory adults. He was the victim of physical, verbal, and sexual abuse at the school. Quote, I always felt that I had dealt with this chapter of my life and I put it to bed, but talking to classmates and hearing their experiences was very triggering for me. Listen to this part of it. It became so horrible going back after a summer vacation that one day, I think he was around 10 years old, he'd already gone there 2 years, he contemplated self-inflicted wounds with his father's shotgun. No child should have to think of that. And there's a picture of him in his little uniform, ready to be sent off for another year at that school. His mother divorced his father, and she was talking to a friend that he overheard this, and she said, the friend said, well, what are you going to do with the divorce? Who's going to have the kids more? And oh, that's not a problem. You know, he's off at the school. He's off at the private school, of course. And then we can divvy up the amount of time that he's not at the school between us. It'll be very, very easy to handle. How would you like that as a mother? How would you like that at the age of 8 to have your butt shipped off to a school that is frightening? And it wasn't just him. You know, this book is out because it was triggered by talking to former classmates. What a nightmare.
That's pretty standard for upper class British aristocratic yeah. families.
to send them off to a school. But you would think that this place would have had a little bit of a reputation or something.
Well, excuse me, sir. As someone who has both listened to and watched Pink Floyd's The Wall, I am well aware of how terrible those boarding schools are in England. I mean, I've read enough to know that it is dog eat dog, man. It is hardcore.
I mean, I can see the dog eat dog part with kids, you know, I'm proving myself as a young man and all this and that. But predatory adults that you have to face and you're 8, 9, 10 years old for like months and months, that is your life. Holy smoke, that's awful. I mean, I didn't have it easy as a kid, but I'd stay in my one little closet bedroom rather than be in an atmosphere like that. I don't care how beautiful the grounds are.
That's just the world that they grow up in. Just like the world you grew up in is just the world as far as you're concerned. Like, it's expected. And if you've read Prince Harry's book, Spare, wasn't a whole lot better for him where he was. Now, nobody was interfering with the young Prince Harry because of who he was, but there was no abundance of love or nurture at all. I mean, those kids looked forward to the bath mistress because at least it was, you know, some affection. We got morons in the news straight ahead. We got the People's Movie Critic after that. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you ready? We never seem to run out.
You're both morons.
Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
Well, this is a place in Ohio called Oxford, Ohio. And according to the police report, the Oxford Police Department went to get a hold of Adam Sizemore. He repeatedly was calling Kramer Elementary School. Do you think as a mascot at Kramer Elementary School, like they get the tallest kid and get a wig that's kind of crazy and he's the mascot? Or maybe they wouldn't think that
was
a good idea.
It could happen.
I guess it could happen. Yeah. Anyway, he was calling the school because his son gets homework, which takes away from the time that I have with him after school. Sizemore was trying to reach the principal, Jason Mertz, but he was unavailable. During these conversations, Sizemore cursed at the secretaries who were taking the calls. According to the police report, a school resource officer spoke to Sizemore several times on the phone and saying to him, "Stop calling." The officer was called a B. He also told the officer that he was going to make sure she lost her job. And she responded by saying, "If you call again, I'm going to file a charge against you." Two officers paid a visit to Sizemore's home, but he did not answer the door. Instead, he called back to the school. The school resource officer said, "Are you drunk, sir? You're slurring your words." He said, "I am not drunk, but I am high." That's probably, bottom line, he called 18 or 19 times. He was driving these people out of their minds. Finally, the cops went to the house and they had to arrest Mr. Sizemore and take him to the county jail. The spokesperson said, "I will share that we have received similar calls and messages to those received by the Oxford Police Department. And we are used to being abused, but not like this."
And he had all that, like, get up and go and initiative, and he was high.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was still high.
I mean, aren't you a little bit surprised? Like, maybe two attempts, and then he gets distracted, and he's watching TV. Right. Like,
He stayed with it.
Yeah. Lamar.
Yeah. A Nebraska teen was in a hurry Friday to see his special lady. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office says deputies pulled over a Kia Sorento, known for its high-speed performance, that was caught going 117 miles an hour in a 55 miles per hour zone. The teen was cited on suspicion of speeding and not having a valid registration. He is facing a fine of up to $325. The sheriff's office had heard numerous complaints about reckless drivers and so it had placed additional resources into curbing that dangerous behavior. The driver, a 17-year-old from Douglas County, said he was rushing to meet his girlfriend during a work break. It's what the sheriff's department said. Now, my question is, how can you make a Kia Sorento go 117 miles per hour? Answer, the power of when a girlfriend's text says, parents not home, followed by fruit emojis. That will do
You're
it
exactly
every
right.
time.
You're wow. exactly right.
I didn't think they could go that fast either.
No, no well, Lamar's right, though. I know it was
pedal
driving
to the
him.
Metal, baby. Pedal yeah. to the metal.
Now, you know what they say, that water damage to your house is worse than fire or smoke damage? So right. you can imagine if something happened to flood your whole house, flood your whole neighborhood, you'd be pretty ticked because you'd be stuck with dealing with the insurance company, dealing with like Surf Pro or whatever to clean it up. That's what right. happened in a neighborhood in Daytona, Florida, when a hit and run driver slammed into a fire hydrant, tore the top off of it, and before it was all said and done, flooded the entire neighborhood.
Wow. Whoa.
Every yard, every driveway, the ground floor of every home, and the driver is gone. You don't even believe how much water can come out of one of those hydrants that fast.
Yeah.
And now all
yeah.
of those people are stuck cleaning up that mess.
And there wasn't one
person
camera that
slammed
was on
into
it.
It.
I guess. Yeah.
So far, they don't have the person who did it. Now, it seems yeah. like if we just kind of keep an eye out for a car that has a hydrant-shaped crumpled dent in the front end. But yeah. so far... all of those people are out of luck, and that driver is hiding that car somewhere. And that is Morons in the News. We have the People's Movie Critic coming up with The Program on Netflix. And we have gigantic mutant farm animals. That's how you know it's Friday. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
I love this so much. Two women, Casey Aaron and her partner Lauren, are driving 500 miles down the coast of Florida in toy cars, little battery-operated toy cars, Jacksonville to Key West to set the Guinness World Record for longest distance in toy cars. It is hilarious.
I
to
bet.
See. It is absolutely hilarious. Lauren does not want her last name used, and I don't know why, but they started their journey at the Friendship Fountain in Jacksonville. They plan to end at the southernmost point buoy in Key West.
Right.
Casey's boyfriend, Brandon, is going to like kind of be in their chase van. They expect that it will take them 2 months to drive 500 miles in their little battery-operated toy cars. These two, Casey and Lauren, listen to this. They have been friends since they were in kindergarten together in New Jersey. And they used to ride around when they were little. They each have one of those little toy cars. And so they'd ride yeah. around. And they've stayed friends all these years. And one day they got to talking. And they said, what a crazy adventure. We both always wanted to have a Guinness Book of World Records thing. So let's get in these toy cars. Let's drive to the Keys. So Lauren's car is blue. And Casey's car is red, and it's exactly what you're picturing. These little teeny tiny battery cars that go, what, about 3 miles an hour top speed?
Yeah, if that. Do they look like Jeeps? Landon had one that looked like a Jeep. Is that what?
No, these look like little sports cars, a little red
sports
car.
Oh, you can get them like anything now.
Like
in Barbie. You can get everything.
Yeah.
We were at, when we were Christmas shopping for the kids, we went to, I think, Academy Sports and Outdoor, and they had a Land Rover. They had a battery-operated Land Rover.
Is that right?
Oh, my God. It was the bougiest, cutest little thing. So we will report back on Casey and Lauren. Will they hit their goal? It's going to take 2 solid months. It's Bob and Sherry.
The People's Movie Critic review on Bob and Sherry is sponsored by Tide. Washing your clothes with Tide on cold cleans great and provides savings for your wallet and the environment.
It is time now for the People's Movie Critic, and his review of The Program on Netflix.
Let's be honest. Netflix is the unadulterated king of documentaries. I mean, they've got them, and they're awesome. The Program, and the full title of this is The Program, Cons, Cults, and Kidnapping. It's a three-part series that you cannot turn off. Once you start it, just settle in, buddy. Get you a drink and just settle in. Because this is about troubled teen schools or retreats. And we've seen these things forever, and it goes like this. The ad goes, do you have a child that you just can't handle? You can't get through to them? He or she is defiant. They refuse to follow the rules. They're doing bad at school. They lack discipline. Maybe they're into substance abuse. Maybe even violent. We can help. I always thought, you know, those ads look good. It seems like a good thing in theory. You know, somebody giving some tough love and getting them straightened out and, you know, you get them back and whatever. But after watching this documentary, in reality, it can be extremely dangerous and very damaging to a child. The director of this docuseries is Catherine Kubler. She was a former student, with quotation marks, of a troubled teen repair institution. Her film uncovers the terrible prison-like conditions of Ivy Ridge Boarding Academy, located in the middle of nowhere in Ogdensburgs, New York. Now, I said prison-like, but that would be wrong, because there are trained, educated people who run prisons. They have to abide by some rules that are set up by society. There's some outside oversight. There's inspections and transparency to how prisoners are being treated. That is not the case in this place, and evidently many, many, many more places like this all around the world. Now, Catherine had just been expelled from a school that her dad put her in when she was 15 for being caught in possession of a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Now, she's waiting on him to come pick her up, but her dad doesn't show up. She is kidnapped in the middle of the night, handcuffed and thrown into a van and taken to Ivy Ridge and immediately strip searched on her arrival. Her father was sure he was doing the right thing, but she is damaged in a way that might not be able for her to come back from. I mean, she has post-traumatic stress. She has panic attacks. Once she was processed and locked up in the girls' wing, there were pages and pages of rules that they have to memorize and follow. Here's some of the rules. No talking, no smiling. No making eye contact, no touching, no looking out the window, no winking. You must march in a military style, pivoting around every corner. All bathroom visits are to be monitored with the door to the stall left open with a staffer watching you completely as you go to the bathroom. If you, and there's many, many more rules, but if you violated any one of these rules, you were subjected to physical abuse. You were confined in a small room and forced to stare at one block on the wall. And after 2 or 3 hours, and there's a person watching, if your eye goes off of that block, they extended it. They could keep you in there sometimes for 24 hours in a small room staring at a block. Now, Catherine, after she got out of this thing, she's been investigating this for the last 10 years. She managed to track down some fellow students, and they got together to appear in this documentary. Ivy Ridge closed in 2009, and everything was left like it was. When Catherine and them went back to the school, all the records, all the files, and all of the security camera footage was there. She has complete documentation of everything that happened. None of this is hearsay. This is chilling, and it's disgusting and sad to watch. She does an awesome job taking us into the hell she suffered. The owner of these schools at one time had 26 locations around the world, 17 in the U.S., and he was taking in $90 million a year. This is a must watch. And my
What's
score,
the name of it again? What's the name of it?
The Program.
The Program. My score is one of the rare full six packs of Budweiser. Whoa. This is strong,
my wife.
This is strong.
Buddy.
My wife wants to see this.
Unbelievable. There's so many twists and turns in this thing. It's crazy.
Are the cops after anybody after this thing?
Shell corporations, they changed the name. You just got to watch it. You just got to watch it. It's unbelievable. Okay. Unbelievable.
Wow. Six pack for something. The program. Yep. Woo! It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
I was reading this really interesting article the other day about marriage and how marriage, the number of marriages, is at an all-time low in the United States. And one of the reasons is it used to be marriage was a cornerstone of someone's life. In other words, they would get out of school or come back from the service or whatever, my parents' perfect example, and they would start their lives. The cornerstone was going to the church and getting married. Whereas younger people today are saying, and not all, but I'm just saying it's a pretty big movement. It's not a cornerstone of our lives. It's a capstone. What we want to do is try to get some sort of stability with a career, with money coming in, with a little bit of savings if we possibly can, to get stable. And then let's get married and start a family, which is a big flip from one, two, three generations earlier. However, the people who did this study, it's a Chicago economist named Sam Peltzman, found that marriage was the most important element between being happy and being unhappy. Married people are 30 points happier than unmarried people. Income contributes to happiness too, but not as much. He has a forthcoming book called Get Married. Specifically, the odds that men and women say they are very happy with their lives are in very strong marriages, 545% higher than people who are not married or people who are in marriages that are not very good. Here's the quote. When it comes to predicting overall happiness, a good marriage is far more important than how much education you get, how much money you make, how often you have sex, and yes, even how satisfied you are with your work. I had a guy say to me, a guy said to me once, he said, the most important thing that I ever did, this was a very successful doctor, big practice. He said, the most important thing I ever did for myself, career-wise, was to pick the right wife and have her accept me. And you know what? I believe that too. And he went on to say, I go into work. And his wife, I think, worked part-time there, too, and she did something else. He said, I go into work, I don't think twice about whether or not I've got to go find somebody to date, whether or not I found the right person, whether she's cheating on me or whatever. We have such a solid marriage. I can get on now with my career. It does make sense. Do you not think?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about an unhappy marriage, just pollutes every corner of your life. You can't think straight. Everything suffers for it. So it only makes sense that a happy marriage would have the opposite effect, right?
It's the number one thing. It outflanks what you picked as a career. It will do more for you if you have a happy marriage than the career you picked or the education that you have. Because we all know. I mean, you could look at the FX thing that I just finished. The Swans versus Capote. These are the richest women in New York City, and their lives are miserable because their husbands are cheating or, you know, they've got mistresses. Anyway, the marriages are not good, and they have misery in their lives.
Well, the people in this conversation are not on their first marriage, so we could all probably relate to that a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
yeah, without
a
doubt.
It's good to have a comparison, isn't it? It's good to have a comparison.
But I never, you know, until recent years, the fellow that I was referring to really started me thinking in that direction. Until then, you know, it was my career that would give me the most peace and satisfaction coming from, you know, a very poor background. But that is not the case. The peace that I have is with my wife, Mary. And things can go up or go down. But as long as it's solid here, I'm going to get through it, right? I'm going to get through it. We're going to figure it out.
It's hard because it's one of the most important, maybe the most important decision you make in your whole life, right?
I think it is.
I will quote my queen, Taylor Swift, who said, I'm really pretty smart unless I'm in love. And then I'm very, very stupid.
Yeah.
Because I can so relate.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you're so honest, easy. who can't relate to that sometimes? And many of us are guilty of marrying an idea, not a person, or marrying someone because it seems like, well, it's time, or I guess that's just what you do next, or family pressure.
Like, or my sister has kids and I need to have kids.
Yeah, it's time. This big major life decision, we often make it for crazy superficial reasons.
Yeah. Taylor's right.
Hey, so. Straight ahead, we have comedian Orny Adams and Everyone Needs a Laugh and Giant Mutant Sheep. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Sherwin-Williams.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Orny Adams.
I just bought a fridge. I bought a fridge, a smart fridge. You know what that is? I got a smart fridge. My fridge, there's a screen on my fridge. I call the guy over in the store. I go, who's watching TV on the fridge? He goes, oh, no. If you tap the screen twice, it shows you everything inside. This is for the people that this is too much work. Some people are going, oh, my God, every day I have to start the day by opening this heavy door. I haven't even had my coffee yet. When are they going to put a screen on the front? This is your dumb generation. Putting screens everywhere. A fridge doesn't need a screen. A fridge doesn't need a screen. It needs to stay cold and have a little light bulb so we can eat in the middle of the night. Then the guy said to me, he goes, you know, you can talk to the fridge too. You go, hey, fridge, am I out of half and half? I don't need to talk to my fridge. I'm already talking to too many things. My phone, my car, my TV. I've started talking to stuff that doesn't even talk. I was yelling at the ceiling fan last week going, slow down. Slow down. What are you, dumb? Don't make me get off this couch and pull the cord. Why can't you be like the fridge? Why can't you be like the fridge? Then the guy keeps going. He goes, you know, the fridge will track your food by UPC code. It'll text you when you're out of something. I don't need my fridge on the internet. Now somebody hacks my fridge and they release a naked picture of me going like this. People are trolling me on the internet. I don't know if you can see over your gut, but you're low on ketchup. You're low on ketchup. I was going to buy one for my parents. My parents with the technology, with the old people. My mom would text me. Every time I get a text message, she thinks it's a doorbell. Every time. Ding, somebody at the door. Ding, somebody at the door. We're in the car, Mom. We're in the car. Let's use some reasoning, deduction, or whatever the difference is. I just bought my parents their second Apple TV. Why? They did something to the first Apple TV that could not be fixed. They found the settings. Old people, let us set your stuff up and leave it alone. They made the subtitle so big it took up the entire screen. Just like five words, that's it. Apple TV goes, well, they must be blind. It turned on something called voice assist. for blind people, and it was speaking Japanese. I called Apple. They go, throw it out. Just buy a new one. Just you can afford a smart fridge. You can just buy another Apple TV. My pet, there's no hope. There is no hope for these old people. There's a lot of money in death. There is a lot of money in death. I'm buying a house. When you buy a house, the seller has to disclose to you everything that can bring the value down. A cracked roof or leaky basement or mold. Even stuff like if somebody died in the house in the last few years. So listen to me. If you're old. If you're old and you think you're dying, get out of the house. Get out of the house and die. And die. You're gonna die anyway. Do it outside. Do it outside on the pavement. Grab the iPhone we gave you. Go to the pavement. Die. And call 911. Call 911. Call 911. And then call your kids and say, I'm dying on the sidewalk. Because I love you. Because I love you. But I don't want to bring the value of the house down. Thank you so much.
That is Orny Adams. We'll get it posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. This is Bob
Perfect
and Sherry.
Perfect name.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at BobandSherry.com.
Charlie the Bichon Frise dog was taken to the vet because his owners thought, hey, he's not feeling well, he's sick. So they had an ultrasound, and it showed an obstruction in the dog's stomach. They thought it was something plastic, but when they did surgery, they found out he had swallowed 133 coins. 133 coins.
Why do I just know in my heart, because I have had a small white dog, that this is the same Bichon Frise that wouldn't eat most of the food that you put in his bowl? Like he would walk away from it. He's like, I don't like this Little Caesars. I'm not here for this Purina One. No, thank you, farmer's dog. But I'm going to eat 133 metal points.
The vet said everybody was surprised. We opened up his stomach and found all these coins. And he said, we did find a few pieces of plastic. But the owners had no idea when he ate the coins. Because the vet said it was really a mystery of how he managed to digest so many. He said a lot of dogs will eat a coin or two. I mean, you know, and they really shouldn't, but they could. But he said he felt so sick. If he had eaten those coins, you know, days ago, he would have been sick before then. So he had to eat them all pretty quickly. Now, you know, that's a lot of coins to eat at one time. This is not a snack. I mean, this is a meal made of coins. And, you know, and it's very dangerous. I'm very careful because we know my dog Darby will eat anything. So we're very careful about coins and stuff because a lot of coins have got the zinc in there, which it can be poisonous and it can lead to vomiting, diarrhea, lack of appetite. Plus, when you put that much stuff in your stomach, it can mess up your digestion. You can't go to the bathroom.
This is the same dog that would only eat ground organic chicken with Whole Foods brand broth poured over it. But by all means, enjoy 133 coins. Any chance you know the vet bill? Because I know it's more than 133 coins.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. Hey, whatever was in his stomach wouldn't cover it, would tell you that. Supposedly, they're monitoring now, and he's going to be fine. This is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Our Love My Pup contest is live at BobandSherry.com. Check out the photo gallery of entries and submit a photo of your dog. You could win $100, $150, or $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend dog food. Visit DrMartyPets.com/Bob.
You can grab the Bob and Sherry app because you can listen to the show every single day, plus all of our podcasts, including Talking Lamar, brand new episode of that today, The Oddcast, new episode Monday, and True Weird Stuff, new episode tonight. Hit it, Max.
Hi, Bob, Sherry, Max, Lamar, and Doc. I wanted to comment on Lamar's recent podcast on slaw, and I never thought I would enjoy a podcast about coleslaw so much. I thoroughly enjoyed the episode. There's no sarcasm there at all. And I just wanted to comment that my absolute favorite part of the episode was the stunned silence after Max said that he had never tried coleslaw before. I shared in the stunned silence. I'm a person who tries everything though. I a love for coleslaw as well. I share it with Lamar, not to that degree. And I truly appreciated Sherry's many remarks about how enthusiastic Lamar is about a side. And I just loved Lamar's philosophy that a side should be able to stand on its own. And I just think that was a great philosophy for life. So I just wanted to comment how much I enjoyed that episode. And I think it'd be really fun if you all did like one of your Facebook Live events or something where, well, maybe Max won't try coleslaw, but maybe you all could try some and rate it or something like that. It'd be really fun. So, all right. I hope you have a wonderful day.
It's going to be tough to sell Bob on a coleslaw.
My favorite part was I was so surprised that I enjoyed a podcast only about coleslaw. That was my favorite thing that she said, and it sums up everything that we do. I didn't know Max until this happened. I didn't know Max had never had any coleslaw. I'm going to guess why you haven't had it. I'm going to guess why. It was a visual thing that you saw somewhere, probably at a supper where everybody brought something. You saw the bowl of coleslaw, and there was some white milky stuff down in the bottom of the bowl, and it was repulsive looking to you.
That'd be correct, Bob, because it has cabbage in it. It's not just the sight of it. It's not just the texture of it. It's the cabbage of it. And there's mayonnaise. So you've mixed it together. You've put it in a bowl. It looks like cow barf.
Wait. Are you now revealing you don't eat mayonnaise either?
Not with that.
How are you friends? I love you.
Because it is so disgusting.
I never
put it on a sandwich.
I did not disclose this in the episode. And I'm glad I didn't, because I really am glad that Bob is here to hear this. I didn't try coleslaw until I was an adult, Lamar, and for a very different reason than Max. I didn't like mayonnaise as a kid, but that wasn't what kept me from coleslaw. My great-grandma Pegleg would come to my grandparents' house sometimes for Sunday dinner, and if she was having a rough day, she would take her teeth out. And I have such a vivid memory of watching Pegleg mawing down on some coleslaw without her teeth. That it left a scar. Okay. Like, it was so, because as she was mawing down on the coleslaw without her teeth, she was pointing her finger at my older brother and lecturing him about his marijuana smoking. And the combination of the coleslaw, the mayonnaise, the no teeth, and the lecture about pot, it all came together for me in such a traumatic way. But then as an adult, understand. I tried it and I liked it. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
So Max, suppose you can make it
without mayonnaise. You can make it with vanilla yogurt. Plain yogurt. Yeah.
Oh, really?
He ain't doing that.
Yes.
Max, suppose the coleslaw is not really runny, right? It's not that white stuff down at the bottom of the bowl. And it has a little bit of chopped carrots and raisins in it. Would you give it a try?
Oh, with the raisins. No. Raisins.
Why are we putting raisins in coleslaw?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Who hurt you?
Oh, yeah.
No. You're ruining the raisins is what you're doing.
I'm a human being. So it's pretty good.
Let me just ask you
don't
this.
Don't like you loud. Give white people a bad rap, okay? Raisins do not go in coleslaw.
You set our race back 100 years. Oh, my God.
I've made it clear I don't like the cabbage. You telling me if you make that cabbage slimy that it's going to be more appealing to me?
Not. I tell you what, said Max. less slimy. A little bit of not. I don't want to say dry because Lamar is going to come to my house and blow out the windows or something. But just not as slimy, with a little bit of sliced carrots in it, real thin, and some raisins. I'm telling you, that's pretty good.
Raisins and coleslaw. You know what?
Yes.
You know what, Max? Why not just take your teeth out and go to town on and see how that works for you?
I feel sorry that you were brought up in Wyoming. I really do. You've missed out on so much.
Woo! Hey, we got a brand new Talking Lamar today. Yes. What's this one about today, Lamar?
French fries, baby. French fries.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
I have got to tell you about two expressions that I was unaware of that I am going to start using. We needed an electrician to hook up some things because we got a new stove. And we had some other electrical things, like in my studio here, the Sunroom Studio. I needed another plug because there's so much stuff to plug in. And so we hired an electrician. His name was David. And he had an assistant, a young guy. His name was James. And they were great guys. And I'm working, and they're working, and I'm in and out. So I'm hearing some of the things that they're saying. And one of the things was James was up in the attic, because he was running a wire that was going to be hooked up. And the big guy, David, was down below. And they're calling to each other. You know, that pull down is down. And so they can hear each other if they yell. And so David fired up the switch to make it live. And he calls to David. He says, is that hot? Is that hot up there? And David, James rather, calls down, hot as butter. It's hot as butter.
Hot as butter.
What? What?
That is a good expression. It's
what?
Live.
About what?
The electrical connection is hot. It's hot as butter.
Butter's not hot. Butter's smooth.
It's a good expression, okay?
Smooth,
and no, I'm going to start
smooth
using
is butter.
It.
Smooth as
no,
butter.
No, hot because butter, it's electricity.
How does a firecracker?
Butter ain't hot.
Nobody hot wants cold butter. Nobody wants cold butter. Fire. Anyway, I'm going to start using it, and I'm going to start using it with the wife. You are hot as butter, if you know what I mean. So that's that's the first one. Here's the second one. Yeah. I said to David, so these two sconces, You're gonna measure so they're exactly the same, because she's very particular. Exactly the same, and you can drop the wires into this socket. And he, you know what he said? I'm gonna make it happen, Captain.
Oh God, you're not gonna adopt that too, are you?
I am. Yeah, I'm gonna start using that. Let's set it up.
You could use that when you're in the boat. You could use that on the boat.
No. Yeah. I'm going to use it in regular things. Let's say, Sherry, you want to assign me a task, like
one
of your tasks.
Hey, Sherry, here's the task.
No, everybody, just listen to me.
Wait.
So you make up the task, and then I want to come back with, it's going to happen, Captain. All right. So go ahead.
Hey, Sherry. Whatever task you give him, don't give him the task of making up catchphrases. Do not give him
task. He does not get that task.
Go ahead. Right, give me like one of the annoying things that you have to do, and you're going to assign it to me.
Oh, okay. Bob, I'm going to need you after we wrap up for the day. I'm going to need you to stay behind for a couple of hours and catch up all the information on the website so that you can write it up and send it to Ashley and Heather to have it posted. All the comedians, all the links and rabbit holes, all that stuff that we say we're going to post, I'm going to need you to actually, you know, post.
That's not going to happen, Captain.
I didn't think so. That's why I've never given you that assignment.
That is not going to happen, Captain.
That is not happening, Captain. Oh. The Captain knew that wasn't going to be happening.
That's butter, Captain. That's butter. Yeah. That's butter, Captain.
Captain, let me tell you something. Captain Dunn been knowing for many, many, many years that that wasn't going to be happening.
And I thought it'd be something else, and I could use the new Happen Captain thing, but...
What task could I possibly assign you that you would cheerfully respond with? That'll happen, Captain. Here's the task. Are you ready? Bob, when we finish up for the day, I would like you to have a snack and a nap.
That's going to happen, Captain.
I figured.
I can make that happen, Captain.
I figured.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Bob, hot as butter makes no sense. I've never heard that before. Lamar's never heard that before.
No.
Have you never had boiled shrimp and you have hot butter in a little one of those little round, I don't know what you call them, little round dishes.
A ramekin.
And you, a what?
A ramekin.
A ramekin, that's what they're called. You're
That's not hot butter, that's melted butter.
That's melted butter.
But it's hot. It doesn't melt unless it's hot.
No, it's just got to be above room temperature for it to melt.
The guy is upstairs, and he's with an electrical thing that is now on. If he touches it wrong or wires it wrong, he could get hurt. So he's making sure that his buddy knows hot as butter.
I just Googled, is hot as butter an expression? And here's what Google says. It looks like there aren't any great matches for your search.
That's because it was invented. It was invented by James in my
attic. Here's what James meant. It's hot as country crock. That's what it is. It's hot as country crock. Because country crock has nothing to do with butter. Okay.
And you know why it's hot? You know why country crock is hot? Because it comes directly from Satan's booty. That's why it's hot.
Well, I'm going to be using both of those, so be ready when I use them and understand what they mean.
I can't wait for this to happen, Captain.
Oh, it's going to happen, Captain. It's going.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry are teaming up with Visit Florida this school year to salute teachers for all the hard work they do by giving them a chance to win a well-deserved relaxing vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort, Fort Myers Beach. Situated on the Gulf of Mexico, this laid-back retreat is the perfect place for our teachers to find the coolest shells in the sand, sip frozen concoctions, indulge in local fare, and revel in spectacular sunsets. Plus, each teacher and their guest will receive exclusive access to the Fins Up Beach Club to enjoy the action-packed aquatic playground or chill out to the sound of great music on the Sunset Terrace. If you want to nominate a special teacher or even yourself to win this awesome vacation, log on to bobandsherry.com and hit the contest tab. Nominated teachers could win weekly prizes and qualify for the monthly grand prize, a spot to travel with us this summer on our trip for teachers to Florida. Teachers, we salute you with our trip for teachers to Florida from Visit Florida and Bob and Sherry. Contest rules apply.
Can You Believe This is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
Wild story. 10 days ago, 80-year-old Jack Shoebarth showed up in Great Falls. Shout out to all of our Great Falls, Montana listeners. Showed up in a courtroom in Great Falls and pleaded guilty to charges of wildlife trafficking and conspiracy to traffic wildlife. He's going to be sentenced in July. And here's the bottom line of what rancher Jack Shoebarth was doing. He runs a ranch that specializes in breeding alternative livestock. These are animals that are bred to sell to shooting preserves and game ranches. But that's not really what the story's about. If you're thinking like, oh, are you going to tell us about that horrible practice? No. Instead, I'm going to tell you what Jack Shoebarth has been doing for the last decade. He has been working to breed a giant hybrid mountain sheep that would bring even higher prices from these game preserves. And in order to do this, Jack Shoebarth was illegally importing the tissues and testicular items of a large sheep breed called the Marco Polo Argali sheep from Kyrgyzstan. So these sheep are native to the mountains of Central Asia, and they can weigh over 300 pounds, and their horns can be like 5 feet wide. right? So these massive, massive special sheep are protected internationally by the Convention on Trade in Endangered Species, and they're protected by the U.S. Endangered Species Act, and it is against the law to have these sheep in Montana because it puts the native sheep population at risk from disease and hybridization. But Jack Shoebarth didn't care about that. He got this genetic material from these Marco Polo sheep, and he sent it to a lab, and the lab created cloned embryos of that sheep. And then Jack took those embryos, implanted them in ewes on his own ranch, and produced a pure genetic Marco Polo, which he named the Montana Mountain King. And from that one sheep, he got multiple samples and began artificially inseminating multiple species of other sheep to produce giant hybrid animals to sell to hunting factories. And he also sold some of that Montana Mountain King fluid to other sheep breeders. Now, this is so illegal in every possible way that it's crazy. And because he knew that, he couldn't transport these forbidden illegal sheep across state lines. So he and his co-conspirators began forging veterinary inspection certificates that falsely claimed that these mutant hybrid sheep were legal. So the Department of Justice said that he also was buying illegally Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep parts and selling them across state lines. This is a violation in so many ways of something called the Lacey Act, which was passed back in 1900 and then updated again over the years. It makes it illegal to trade in wildlife or fish or plants. You're not allowed to import animals and put native species at risk. And the chief of enforcement for Montana Fish and Game said, this is the kind of crime that threatens the integrity of the wildlife species in the state of Montana. He is facing 5 years in prison, a fine of up to $250,000, and 3 years of supervised probation for each felony count. I'll remind you that he's 80 years old. So whatever jail time he gets in July, it's either not going to be much or it's a life sentence. But you just can't do what this man did. And he knows that he didn't even try to pretend he didn't know what he was doing because he pleaded guilty. You cannot breed giant mutant freaking sheep and put all of the native species at risk. It was nothing but pure greed and some real mad scientist, Dr. Evil sort of vibes that led this man to commit this crime.
Good for Montana. Good for the authorities in Montana. They don't play when it comes to something like this. That is what their state is all about, wildlife and open land.
This one man and his co-conspirators have done so much damage, and a lot of it we can't claw back because he has been selling the reproductive fluid of the giant mutant mountain sheep and the sheep across state lines. It's out. The genie is out of the bottle. Shame on you, Jack Shoebarth. Mm-hmm. Now, I love a headline, man pleads guilty to mutant sheep. I couldn't get to that story fast enough, but shame on you. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Bartender Alanya Collis is 26. And she serves the signature drink she invented, the Hurricane Shots, at the Backyard Fort Lauderdale. It's a bar, and she charges $30 for every one of the shots. The specialty shot is a full performance. Spring break revelers take a shot from a glass that's held in her mouth before getting a pitcher of water dumped on top of their head and then gets their face slapped. Now, she insists that participants give her consent before being slapped, and she makes sure not to hit them too hard. She said, I'm 100% a performer at best, and I'm really good at making it look like I'm slapping them as hard as I can, but I'm absolutely not slapping them that hard. She estimates that she sells between 150 to 200 shots at $30 a piece a night. Now, the bartender didn't really invent the hurricane shot, but she put her own spin on the experience using her acrobatic moves and wrestling style theatrics and she's always her alter ego is Hurricane Anya. Now, she serves those shots at this bar as a freelancer. So she buys the alcohol from the bar, so they make their money there. And then she has her own entertainment company through which she accepts booking for private parties. She began serving this slap shots last year, and she quickly became a hit with all the college students that are so excited for an Instagrammable moment, you know, to send all their friends. Like, I'm having this big time. Yeah. I just got slapped by this good-looking woman.
She's a genius.
Yeah, she they think that it's entertaining, they think it's funny, and they think it's an experience, she says. So it's really all just in good fun. Hurricane Anya not only comes through town, she only comes there for 2 months of the spring break season. That's it. Last spring break, she worked 45 days in a row from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. and racked up $6,000 a night. 45 nights straight, $6,000. She's enjoying the rest of her year, I believe. What a deal.
That's an entrepreneur. I love it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She's very, very smart. This is Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
I try to watch all the Oscar movies before the actual Oscars, but had a few things going on in 2024 that got in my way. And we finally got around to watching Poor Things, which Emma Stone won the Oscar for Best Actress. And it was a controversial win. Even Emma Stone's face indicated that she did not expect or want to win over Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. So I didn't really know a lot about Poor Things. I'm a big Emma Stone fan, so I figured I'm going to like it, right? But because again, I've had so much going on with taking care of Kevin and everything that I don't know. I didn't know what it was about. Boy, howdy, were we in for quite the surprise by the movie Poor Things. So the basic premise of it is this. We're back in Victorian London, and a woman, a pregnant woman who is married to a real piece of work of a domineering, abusive monster, jumps off of a bridge. I'm not ruining the movie. It's the first thing that happens in the movie. Okay? And she's fished out of the water by basically a mad scientist who implants the brain of her unborn infant into her head. And then she's a grown woman with the brain of an infant. And she has to go through all the developmental stages that a child does, except in Emma Stone's body. Mark Ruffalo's in it. He plays this unbelievably pretentious, obnoxious, obsessed with himself, narcissistic heap of a lawyer named Duncan Wedderburn. It's a great performance. Willem Dafoe plays the mad scientist with all sorts of crazy facial prosthetics. I had said to Kevin before we watched it, you know, it's weird that Lamar didn't review this, because Lamar tends to review the Oscar movies. Well, boys, about halfway through, I paused it and turned to Kevin and said, well, now I think I know why the People's Movie Critic did not review Poor Things, because the People's Movie Critic could not find a way to talk about this movie at all.
No, not on the radio for sure.
I saw the trailer and I thought it was really interesting. Defoe's face is something to look at as the doctor. But I didn't jump on it yet.
Who better though than him? to be the crazy doctor. He's perfect for that. Oh, my
perfect.
Gosh.
Absolutely. Do you think it's a movie that I would like?
No.
Maybe.
Here's the thing. No. It's very strange. There was a book out years and years ago called The Lives of the Monster Dogs that was phenomenal, about this mad scientist who manipulated dogs so they could walk on two legs. They were brilliant. They wore clothes. It was really strange. This is a movie that's a mad scientist movie, but it's also one of the raunchier movies I've seen in a really long time.
What do you mean? You mean sexually raunchy?
Yes. What other way is there to be raunchy? I mean, what doesn't get involved? A fruit
Whatever
salad.
You would think would be terrible is there. It's there. Everything.
If you're uncomfortable with really graphic stuff like that, you're not going to like this movie. And Bob, that's not why I think you wouldn't like it. Like there's a chog. It's a chicken with a dog's head on it because Willem Dafoe's mm-hmm. character has been experimenting, you know, with all these hybrid human animal creature kind of things. I think the weirdness of it would be off-putting to you. Not
there's
the raunchiness
a, there's a human
of
with
it.
A chicken's head with a chicken's
no,
head.
There's a chicken with a dog's head.
With a dog's yeah. head. Oh, wow.
Now, let me just say, Emma Stone is amazing in this movie. Like all the actors in this movie, Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe, they're all amazing. Emma Stone does something pretty extraordinary in this movie. But this is not one, folks, heads up. This is not one to watch with your mom and dad.
No.
Doesn't sound like it. No, no.
No, no, no.
So I thought well, it was the, incredibly by the way, interesting.
By the way, there are other raunchy things than just sexual things. You said, you know, have you ever seen Lamar and Me at the all-you-can-eat barbecue rib thing that we used to
Oh, yeah,
to
that's
go
definitely
to.
Not safe for work. Yeah.
No, that's not for kids to see. That's a fact.
No, it's not.
No,
hey,
no.
Let me tell you. A plate of ribs is about the only thing that wasn't involved in this movie.
Yeah, like it, they just forgot about is, it. They forgot about
wow.
it.
Wow.
This is very interesting and very thought-provoking. And please, dear God, do not watch it with your mama. It's Bob and Sherry.
Here's Bob and Sherry with Charlie King and the Zippy Zodiac.
Maybe this week is going to be awesome. Take it away, Charlie.
Well, this week is definitely intense. We do have a massive eclipse coming up. It's the beginning of eclipse season. So for Aries, it's going to be easy to get confused and lose sight of your identity. You'll see how certain connections impact your sense of self. And this week suggests emotional shifts, increased closeness, or even separations to bring you back to yourself and away from others. For Taurus, there is heightened sensitivity in your physical and spiritual well-being. This week, tiny, tiny annoyances or little illnesses or other situations require some downtime and healing. And this is for the purpose of disrupting your routine, offering you a chance to check in with how fulfilling your life is. Gemini, this week, embrace your individuality and celebrate what separates you. You are so different. This is a reminder to utilize those creative talents. Express yourself, and you could choose to do that alone or collaborate with others. But it's really a chance to bring your skills and abilities into the spotlight and take a risk on a project this week.
You know, this will be different for Lamar, this expressing himself, you know, this like putting himself out there.
Speak
this
right
be different.
I usually like just, I get in the corner of the room and just be quiet. It's normally
kind
what
of wallflower. All right, Cancer.
Cancer, a recent wellness crisis prompts you to reconsider your home life. So external influences on your well-being may be pretty significant to consider. And if you have been sick lately, this can be a sign of improvement in your health through changing your environment or shifting your responsibilities. For Leo, you find big, big developments with your local community or your education or your siblings or your classmates or some extended family members. However that does show up, this week holds the potential for unexpected thrills, which could energize or exhaust your nervous system and lead to a fresh field of expertise. Virgo. This week
like
hits on practical matters.
I didn't like the way you said that.
Well, it's always something for Virgo. I feel like Virgo has had it going for the last couple of years. Yeah. But this week particularly is like, this is your practical matters. This is your finances. This is your possessions. These are the tangible results of your effort. And it's really just about your assets. So something in this area could unsettle you. It could prompt a challenging journey where you're tested on your commitment to a material goal. Thanks to some momentary difficulties, you're going to grapple with decisions that force you to rethink your original plans.
Well, my ass sets in a chair, and I'm thinking about that all the time. So you're right on the money.
Libra.
Libra this week is your personal identity. You feel compelled to take decisive action and resolve a very complicated entanglement. So you look at how your life merges with somebody else, and this is all concerns about you as an individual. The key is striking balance between personal independence and maintaining those meaningful connections. Scorpio. Scorpio, this is the week. I'm excited about this one. It's the week that things get revealed. So you could simply receive insights through something like vivid dreams or these intuitions, or from people who have become like enemies. So it's hidden aspects that have been impacting your life that get unveiled. And these breakthroughs actually lead to a deeper sense of understanding about what you've endured and does indicate a temporary boost in luck.
Oh, well, I like that last part. The rest of that stuff, it could mean a lot of things. And it's a little confusing.
I'll tell you what, it sounds rough.
But I like the last part, and I'm going to hold on to that. Thank you, Charlie.
For Sagittarius, the focus is on networking and the idea of broadening your scope of work or handling colleagues and collaborators from a distance. So this week is about updating your connections and letting new or old people lead you to liberation from your current confines. Capricorn. This period stirs up matters of authority. So your choice is really going to be between asserting yourself more so that you can guide matters to where you know that they need to be, or holding your hands up and relinquishing power and letting fate take the wheel, which is a little bit more of an ambiguous outcome. So there's this big event coming in your professional life this week, and it challenges you to confront commitments or people that may be hindering your growth to your goal.
Oh, God. You know, that just does not sound like a margarita on the deck, girl. That does not at all. Let's see what's up for Aquarius.
Aquarius, collaborative advice is key in advancing your life. There's this high mind atmosphere, and you may be drawn to familiar territory, or you might head towards philosophical pursuits. So you're on the edge of this personal frontier. You may want to consider a teacher or a mentor, and then watch your life expand outside of that familiarity. And Pisces. Okay. This week leads to confronting the emotional toll of some unhealthy relationships or unhealthy expectations. So facing personal or external shadows, it just really means breaking free from controlling circumstances. Or it could mean facing up to some undesirable bad habits that you have within yourself. This is a time of full introspection.
Sweet, gentle Pisces. I'm so glad that you're not taking the beating that some of the signs are this week. We're going to post Charlie's Zippy Zodiac forecast for next week at bobandcherry.com and on the Bob and Cherry Facebook. And if you would like even more detail, if you want to drill down even harder on your sign, you can subscribe and listen to Charlie's podcast, The Horoscope Vault, everywhere you get your fine quality podcasts. Charlie, you have a great weekend. This
bye
is
bye,
Bob
Charlie.
And Cherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Cherry Archive Vault.
No matter where you live, everybody looks forward to spring, right?
Right. Yep.
Everybody looks forward to spring. Mm-hmm. And because, like, for example, Boston, New York, the whole Northeast and the Midwest have had a really vicious late winter, chances are good, early spring, not going to be so great. I have some fascinating and fun facts about spring that are, like, perfect for fourth graders. Would you like to hear them?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Spring almost always comes on March 20th or the 21st, but sometimes it comes on the 19th. And the reason for that is that the first day of spring is the vernal equinox. Vernal is Latin for spring, and equinox is Latin for equal night. Kids, the vernal equinox means the day in spring when the nighttime is as long as the daytime.
Hmm.
And we also have the winter solstice, where
right.
it's the longest day of the year.
Right.
So, you know, we think about this is where all this comes
it's
from.
It's the balance.
That's why the first day of spring changes, because the first day of spring is always going to be the vernal equinox, the day when night and day are equal lengths. Now, Facebook did a little study, and they found that couples are most likely to break up in the spring, and second most likely to break up 2 days before Christmas. The lowest breakup time is Christmas Day, and August through October, the most least number, breakups.
Yeah, I wonder why spring. Maybe you want to start anew. A young man's fancy turns to other things.
Don't you feel different? Like, doesn't your body and brain feel different when spring comes?
Yeah, you have more energy.
You get kind of randy when spring comes.
Yeah.
Let's see. The first day of spring in the Southern Hemisphere is, think about it, It's the first, like our first day of spring is Australia's first day of fall.
Right.
When you're a kid, like when you, I'm sure you don't remember when you learned that summer for us is winter in Australia. Did that not blow your mind
it
a
did.
Little bit?
I think I was in fifth grade.
That just absolutely blew my mind. Let's see, what's another fun one? At Chichen Itza in Mexico, which is the ruins, the pyramids and the ruins, the Mayans celebrated the first day of spring with the return of the sun serpent. So on the evening of the vernal or spring equinox, the setting sun will create this triangular shadow on the El Castillo Pyramid that looks like the descending feather serpent god Kukulkan. And so because of the way the pyramid, think about how exact the ancient world was when they built those pyramids. They understood, without any of the science we have today, about the equinox, and they built the pyramid so that on one day a year, the shadow would look like the serpent god.
Archaeologists,
have your mind blown by that for a second.
Archaeologists now think, I was just reading this the other day, that the pyramids in Egypt were not built with slave labor. Those were hired workers.
That were getting paid, like with dental?
I mean, I don't know how, not with dental.
Let's see.
Aliens?
Yeah, aliens built the pyramids. I mean, everybody knows that, Bob. Hello, History Channel. Hello.
They have the Ancient Aliens is one show that they have, and then I saw this other one called How the World Will End.
Oh my God, don't watch that. Have you seen promos for How the
No,
World Will End?
I watched it.
Do not watch.
How does it end? How does it end?
Oh, they do every episode's different. Biological warfare, nuclear annihilation, earthquakes and floods, diseases, famine, murderous rampages.
It's surprising we're still here.
I saw, since we're talking about history for one second, one of the most disturbing photographs that I've ever seen over the weekend. I forget where I was, but the thing was five photographs that will chill you to the bone, something like that. And there's a photograph of Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's right-hand henchman. And he's sitting down, he has a suit. His eyes are so spooky and cold and heartless. And here's one of the reasons why he was looking that way. Somebody just whispered to him, the photographer is a Jew.
Oh, and he was so grossed out by that?
You could just, I don't know where the hate for Jewish people came from with that that monster. But when you see his eyes, you can see it in his eyes. It is chilling.
Do not watch How the World Ends. If that gave you the willies, you won't sleep for days.
Yeah.
Remember when I was just telling you how amazing it is that the Mayan builders at Chichen Itza were able to calculate how to build their pyramid so that on the vernal equinox, this one phenomenon would happen?
Mm-hmm.
You may already know this because you've actually been to it, but the early Egyptians, when they built the Great Sphinx, it points directly to the place where the sun will rise on the spring equinox.
Oh, is that right?
The Sphinx is staring into the rising sun on that one day a year.
It's an amazing thing to see.
Hang on, Max. Aliens?
Aliens.
I think so.
Paid labor.
I think so. Honeybees are more likely to swarm during the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And babies who are conceived in the spring are more likely to be born premature. Isn't that a mind blower?
Is that right?
Yeah.
So
there's, they don't, it's just,
so your niece, that baby was born a little early.
Way
right?
early, yeah.
Yeah.
They think it's because of seasonal flu spikes.
Is that right?
Anyway,
leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
My favorite halftime show at the Super Bowl has always been Bruno Mars. I just think he is so talented. The way he sings, writes, dances, he can play the drums. He's just the most amazing talent. And I didn't realize this, but he has had a residency at the Park MGM Las Vegas for the last like 8 years. That's where he's been performing. So he's got this long-term deal, and I'm getting the feeling it's going to go on a lot longer because allegedly he has racked up $50 million in gambling debts with MGM. Now, MGM has come out and said, you know, we have a wonderful relationship. Everything is fine. The story has not been validated by, you know, CBS News or something like that, but it is floating all over the place. One source claimed he owes $50 million. They basically own him for the foreseeable future. He was on Carpool Karaoke not long ago, a couple of years ago. And yeah.
I hate to see you sharing disinformation like this. That's not Bruno Mars in that residency. That's Kate Middleton. Everyone knows it. Okay?
But they're
I'm
so
embarrassed
right on their feet.
For you. Yeah, I'm so embarrassed.
I feel so now we know. So now we know. Huh? He talked about on Carpool Karaoke his love of poker. So, you know, he's just one of these guys. He's around. Evidently, he's around it. Supposedly, according to source, he's knocking down $90 million a year through MGM and has other business interests, too. I mean, he's an amazing performer, but you got to be careful because you wouldn't be the first singer to go down to a Vegas deal, you know, because it's so tempting. It's all right there. I just love him. It's Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.